Will you bow your heads with me one more time? Gracious Lord, we come to your word and we ask that you will help us to hear and to understand what you have for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Growing up, I could not wait for family get-togethers. There's just nothing better than getting together with the family, and mealtimes were the best, getting together with my family. I would get together with my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, and cousins, and I would love to play with my cousins. We'd be playing games, running around, but the highlight of the get-together was always the food. My mom's, my aunts, my grandmother's, I don't know what it was. I don't know if they had magic ovens or what, but the food that they made just was wonderful. Whether it was a holiday or a birthday, we always enjoyed getting together to share a meal. Mealtimes are some of the best memories I have growing up, and some of my favorite times still today. But have you ever had a sad meal before? Have you ever had to eat when you just had no appetite? There have been times in my life when my family had to gather together, but it wasn't a joyous occasion. Instead, we gathered together to find comfort in each other's presence. We ate the food, but the joy of eating was absent. Have you ever had a sad meal before? Can you remember what it was like when those emotions were just swirling through you so much that it was really hard to eat and impossible to enjoy? Well, today, friends, we're going to look back at what I believe to be the saddest meal that Jesus ever ate. But as we do so, we're also going to get a glimpse of another special meal for Jesus that will be far from sad. So if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open them up. We're going to go to our scripture reading today, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to have a look at this meal that Jesus had. We pick up the story of Jesus in his last week on earth. It's Thursday night. It's the night that they were to celebrate the Passover. For Israel, this was one of the biggest nights of the year for them. This was one of their favorite holidays. It's a great time for them to get together with family, with friends. And for hundreds of years on this night, they celebrated God's deliverance from Egypt. So now Jesus and his disciples are about to celebrate the Passover together. My guess is those disciples were kind of like me as a kid. I think they were excited, don't you? That night to be able to celebrate with Jesus in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, I think they were excited so much to be with their master on this awesome occasion. But the story begins not exactly how we would expect. If you can imagine, pretend reading this the first time coming to this point in the story. What does it say? Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." How's that for the start of your holiday meal? I want you to imagine, let's fast forward just a month to Thanksgiving time, a month from now. Your whole family is there, sitting down, getting ready to eat, and then right before someone prays to start the meal, someone says, "I have been desperate to eat this meal with you before I suffer." Would you be like, "What? What are you talking about?" It's not exactly an uplifting comment, is it? Jesus sets a somber, almost sad tone for the meal. And yet he says he's desperate to eat it, to share it with his disciples. So the tone is set. But then it gets worse. As they celebrate this meal that they've celebrated every year of their lives, Jesus changes things. The celebration meal receives new meaning for the disciples. Now, we grew up with this meaning, so we don't quite grasp it, but imagine this meal that you celebrated all your life, and all of a sudden, Jesus changes the meaning a little bit. He adds to it. He enhances the meaning. In verse 19, Jesus hands the bread to them, saying, "This is my body, and it's given for you." Can you imagine what they thought as they took the bread and broke it? In verse 20, Jesus gave them the juice, and he says that this symbolizes my blood, which will be shed for you. Can you picture the look on the disciples' faces? Are they thinking, what's going on here? What's he talking about? Or do you think the disciples were joking around at this point in the meal? Maybe they were talking about sports, football. I don't think so. I think a deep sadness spread over them at the master's words. But then, friends, it gets even worse. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 22. Jesus says, "But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me at the table." At this point, all joy, all good feelings have just vanished from the room. Betrayed? Who would do such a thing? And then realization hits on him. He said, "It's someone here, someone at the table. It's one of us." Have you ever stopped to picture Judas's face at the moment that Jesus makes this comment? I mean, he had thought everything that he was doing was in secret. But now, Jesus knows. Do you think his eyes widened at that moment? Or did he try to keep, you know, a somber, straight face after Jesus said that? Can this meal get any sadder? Yes, friends, it can. See, Jesus knew about the betrayal. And he knew that his path would lead him to the cross. But this is also a terribly sad meal for Jesus for another reason. Look at verse 24. "Now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." Jesus' time on this earth is slipping away at this moment in time. He's almost out of time. So he wanted to use this meal as a way to teach his closest followers. He's invested over 3 years of time in ministry with these 12 guys. They have seen him do miracles. They have heard him preach. They've heard his teachings. They have seen him touch people and bring them back to life. They've listened to his teachings about love and service. And here at the final hour, what are they doing? Bickering, arguing over who will be the greatest. Can you believe that? Well, sadly, I can. Because it's thousands of years later, and God's people are still fighting that argument. I don't think I'm much better than these guys. Do you? If we were honest with ourselves, I don't think we're much better than these guys. Because we just argue now using words like ordination and commissioning. But we're still arguing. We still need grace. Amen? What a sad meal Jesus ate that fateful night before he was betrayed. But the one point I want you to catch from this, friends, is sadness for Jesus never leads to despair. Amen? He would not give up on these 12 men, and Jesus will not give up on us either. Follow me in Luke 22, verse 25. Jesus teaches them again if they will listen. And he said to them, "The king of the Gentiles exercises lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he who governs, as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am one among you as one who serves." Jesus teaches them that the greatest one among you will be the one who serves. I think Jesus still wants us to learn that lesson all these years later. To remember that greatness in Jesus' kingdom is when we serve others from our heart. The Lord's Supper had to be the saddest meal that Jesus ever ate. But the one thing that I love about Jesus is even at his saddest times, even at our saddest times, Jesus always gives us glimmers of hope. If our eyes are open, if our ears are open, we will see them, we'll hear them. In this Last Supper, Jesus spoke about another meal, a future meal that he would have. A meal where he would no longer be sad, but rather it would be the happiest, most exciting, most joyous meal of all time. Listen to Jesus in verse 16, where he says, "Of this meal I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Jesus hints at a future meal. He says, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Something better is coming. Amen. Another meal. The greatest meal in the history of the universe is coming, and we can be a part of it. Let's see how. Verse 28, Jesus says, "But you are those who continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom." Friends, that's a meal that I want to be a part of, amen? I don't want to miss that family gathering, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the first meal in heaven. Do you want to be there for that supper? I say, "But Pastor, how can we? How can I be sure that I will be there, that I will accept the invitation?" Jesus told us. He said right there, He said, "You are those who continued with me in my trials." What's the answer? Continuing with Jesus. Friends, that's why we celebrate communion. To remember what he did. To continue with Jesus. To be inspired to live lives of service to others. This meal reminds us that one day soon, Jesus will not be eating his saddest meal ever. He'll be eating his most joyous meal that he's ever had, when sin is gone forever and we eat together with him. As we celebrate communion today, as we celebrate the foot washing, the ordinance of humility, may it help us to remember that a wonderful, joyous meal with Jesus is coming soon. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you want to commune with us, and you've given us this awesome reminder of how we can live every day, live like you, as a servant to others. And Lord, you've reminded us in this meal that you have given the highest price you ever could to save us from our sins. Your body was broken, your blood was shed, so that we might one day have a meal with you in heaven and rejoice with you forever. Help us to remember that, Lord, as we partake of this service and celebrate communion with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.